Halo. Well, that movie. Hey, there's actually a lot of stuff still going on. It's the fallout of Chris Lord and Phil Miller, or Phil Lord and Chris Miller, whatever it is. We're talking about it. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Star Wars Report podcast. I'm your host, Riley Blanton. So glad you've joined us. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Please delete as appropriate. We've got a great show for you. Forces of Destiny is a thing, too. George Lucas is grumpy, and let's bring in some really cool people to talk about these things. He's the co-host of this very podcast. It's Mr. Mark Herleman. What's up, Mark?
Hey, don't everybody thank me at once. How's it going?
We need a lot of Han Solo quotes in this podcast. Yeah, I'm just saying.
We got to up it, Sam.
Who's scruffy looking? Well, he is. It's Mr. Bruce Gibson.
Who's scruffy looking?
Exactly. That's not how the Force works. That's not how directing works. Someone needs to make that meme.
Sometimes I even amaze myself.
Hey, Bruce, you missed something last week.
What did I miss?
They kicked out the two directors of the Han Solo movie, who I still can't get their first and last name straight. Chris Lord and Phil Miller. Phil Lord and Chris Miller.
Phil,
that's the one.
Phil Lord, Chris Miller.
Thank you. That happened.
It did, didn't it?
That was a thing that happened.
I think I heard a little bit about it. Like, it happened a week ago or something, right?
I guess you could say it was we could call it big news.
We have something to report.
Data, I have news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen, listen.
See what I did there?
Well played.
I was ready, Mark. Mark's always so good about the transition. But all right, we've got the fallout of the firing, the booting, as you will, of Phil Lord and Chris Miller. They're out. Ron Howard is in. Mayhem ensues. Before we even dig into this, Bruce, I want to get you in. Get in on this. Come on in. Give us your opinion. What was your reaction to all this?
I think this is all a good thing, right? Because, you know, if things aren't going well, then you've got to replace it and fix it. And that's what they're doing, right?
But what if the movie sucks?
Well, what if they kept them and the movie sucks? You never know whether you have all kinds of chaos going on shooting a movie or no chaos. It doesn't mean a movie's going to be good or not. I mean, everything could go smoothly and you see the movie and you go, that wasn't all that good. So to me, this doesn't mean anything, whether the quality of the movie is going to be good or not. And it will release on time. I guarantee you that.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Oh, I love you. I just have to say I love you, Bruce. You're guaranteeing it. I mean,
yes.
I'm worried, and Bruce is already telling me that we need to be calm. That's great, Bruce.
Be calm. Send cards and flowers.
That's why we needed you last week, man, because I was on the edge last week, too. I mean, there are a lot of people out there that are seeing this as the doom and gloom and the writing's on the wall, and then there's word that Aaron Alderike has been asked to have a coach come in.
Now, a coach come in, Mark?
I'm butchering his name, man. Alden Ehrenreich?
Yep, there you go.
Hey,
okay. Two was the charm.
I'll deal with that. but you know, that came out, and then everybody's like, well, we should just scrap this movie altogether. It's like, wait, why? Whoa, slow down. Like, even I'm hesitant here going in, but even I'm like, well, let's not scrap it. I mean, let's not get ahead of the horse here.
I love that most of the reaction to this news and the fallout is just what I was kind of making fun of just now. It's like, but literally, we'll do a little experiment. Bruce, you put a great piece here by the Hollywood Reporter that explores the firing and how it reveals a disturbance in the franchise. This is a piece by Kim Masters.
I just like that you guys don't think I was on last week, and I just looked it up, and I was.
Wait, what? No,
I wasn't even sure. Yeah, I just looked it up because I did the Boba's Bounty, too, so that's how I knew for sure I was on.
I'm such a terrible human being.
No, because I was thinking that too, and then I was like, wait, was I on or wasn't I? I don't remember, and I had to go and look it up.
I felt my brain.
You didn't talk me off the ledge then. Now you gotta do it.
I had a This reminds me, Bruce. I sent out. So when we relaunched the Patreon, which we'll talk about later in the show for the plug.
Oh yeah, the glove of Darth Vader. I was there for that.
Oh yeah, and see, I remember it all now. But for some, my brain was stuck. See, this is the problem with my brain, folks. Because I was literally, I 2 weeks ago we relaunched the Patreon with the new bonus show that we're doing, and we'll plug it later in the show. But I sent out like a bunch of emails. I wanted to hustle. I wanted to get the word out. So a lot of you guys who are listening to us now got an email from me, and I was just like, hey, here's the new Patreon deal. Here, check it out. But I felt really bad because I was going through I was emailing people who went to the dinner and people who email the show all the time, and I emailed Greg. Greg's probably listening right now, and I was like, hey man, it was great. I always, because I wanted to send a personal, I didn't want to send a mass, you know, blind carbon copy email. So I was like, I gotta, you know, be personal. I don't want to do that. So I was like, hey Greg, great to see you at the dinner, man. So glad you were able to make it out. Hey BT Dubs, here's the Patreon thing we're doing. Greg definitely was emailing back and forth, but wasn't able to make it to the dinner. And I was, and that's like a microcosm of what just happened with Bruce. So just know, Greg, I felt awful about that. And then also now it just happened to my own producer.
This is why you have a producer, to remind you of things.
It's true.
See, and I just started recording Beyond the Films and Padawan Perspective again. So I'm like doing three shows every Sunday. I'm like, okay, did I? No, I didn't.
Did I say that?
Did we talk about this last week?
Did we talk about
this? And Beyond the Films, we jump from topic to topic. So, like, we're going back to Legacy, and we haven't touched that in almost a year. And I'm like,
oh, wow.
Oh, man, what did go on in the last issue? So I got to go back and read three volumes before I can get to the one we're doing.
See, yeah. I didn't even remember I was on last week, but then I started thinking about it. I was like, I think I did comment on this, but maybe I just talked to you personally, because we talk offline all the time,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly.
And I can't remember if I said it on air or not, but nobody cares about this. So tell us about this Hollywood Reporter story.
Well, and as I was saying, here's the nuanced reaction that the fan community has on the internet, right? I'll do a little experiment here. If we just literally pull up the Hollywood Reporter story right here, I'm just going to do the Twitter version of it. Lord and Miller were in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon, but didn't start shooting until 1 p.m. That day, the two only used three different setups. That is, only three versions of the camera placement, as opposed to the 12 to 15 that Lucasfilm president Kathleen Kennedy had expected. What if the movie sucks? All right. Meanwhile, Lord and Miller were exceptionally successful in the team behind the Lego Movie and 21 Drum Street. They were chafing too, according to source close to them, that they were in a deep, fundamental, philosophical difference with the filmmaking styles. What if the movie sucks? Oh, no. This is going to be like the whole thing.
What if the show sucks?
What if the podcast sucks? Are we going to replace the director?
It's one of those things where they start looking at
the
numbers. They're like, wait, normally they use 12 to 15 and they're only using three. And now, because it's not only going slow, but they have few angles, they can't provide a wealth of options that they'd usually use while editing a movie. Why are they doing like, it does make you, though, respect the fact that Kathleen Kennedy came in and did what she did, though. It's like, okay, well, clearly, even she was like, wait a minute, let's slow down. Wait, you guys, we've got 25 cameras, and normally they always use 12 to 15. Why aren't you using everything we've given you?
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, there's a lot of updates here. But fundamentally, I agree with you, Bruce. It is a bad situation. There's no way around that. However, the actual fallout of it is the actual fallout of what do we do now. I think all of those decisions are right. But we are gaining some more insight, and I don't want to just kind of glibly go past this, because it seems like it's going slow. They're not getting the shots they want. It's a sort of just a level of unprofessionalism. Like, there's an expectation of fulfilling the studio's desires for the film, and they just weren't meeting them. Like, yeah. Like, when they talk about, and I'll go on to say, so this source was saying that the directors, Lord and Miller, felt that they were given, quote, zero creative freedom, and that they also were being asked to operate under, quote, extreme scheduling restraints, and were never given enough days for each scene from the very beginning. Now,
I am so confused by that first one because creative freedom is huge in our Star Wars fandom. A lot of things have been sacrificed in the name of creative freedom, and everything we've been given from the story group suggests that there's a lot of creative freedom. So what are they referring to?
Maybe they just didn't have the creative freedom to sit in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon until 1 p.m. Maybe that was it.
Yeah, that's weird.
I think Lawrence Kasdan had the creative freedom. I think these guys had to follow his lead. That was where I think the problem was.
He wrote the script. He wrote the script.
So are they used to being part of that process then in the way that they do films? They're there from script writing all the way through, and this is the first time they've come into it late in the game like that?
I think that's what it was. I think with 21 Jump Street and the Lego movie, they had more creative freedom to write it and then do the improvising, and they were directing it. I mean, they could do whatever they want with it. This one has certain rules. It's like, here's Lawrence Kasdan's script. This is what we expect. Now go make this. And yeah, do your creative flavor to it and do what you need to do to it. But they went probably too far with it, and they were going way off script.
Bold exaggeration. They're like, well, we want Han Solo to be like Ace Ventura, and you're not letting us do it. We got zero creative freedom over here. This is not right.
Here's,
confusing us.
Here's the deal. You know, all of this, I guarantee you, comes back to the release of The Force Awakens. I'm telling you guys, the sheer financial and cultural success of that film radically transformed Kathleen Kennedy's thoughts on how they were going to approach the Star Wars saga. Because I think there was a sort of school of thought that the Lucas nostalgia, that just to try to make a Star Wars movie that felt exactly like the old Star Wars films was the safe bet, but we're really here to kind of shake things up. We're going to do some cool movies. We're gonna get these edgy directors, man. We're gonna get Josh Trank, these young and up-and-comers. They're hungry. They're gonna make a great film because they want it. They want to make their mark on the Star Wars universe. How much did that just make? How much did The Force Awakens just... You know, guys, that's real. And this is what happened with Gareth Edwards, I think. Rogue One was a much more grittier war film. And while it retained its sort of visual look, I think that's the heavy reshoots associated there are very much in the same philosophy probably that informed the conflict that we see here with the Han Solo spinoff film. I don't know. What do you think, Bruce?
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I don't know if they were, when going into this, I mean, Lucasfilm was thinking, okay, we can make a more comedy film, Han Solo. I don't even know if saying comedy is the right word, but a more fun film, a more lighthearted film. And I think based on The Force Awakens and even Rogue One especially, I think they realized they can't go so light. I don't think they can go so much light fun with a film, and especially with the Han Solo character. And I think they started to realize they had to pull back. And these guys, these directors, that's not what they were hired to do. And I mean, if anything, there might be resentment there and say, hey, look, you hired us to make a certain film, and now you're pulling back on us.
Exactly. I could see that exactly being the case. And that's further evidenced by the Hollywood Reporter piece, which goes on to say that matters were coming to a head in May as the production moved from London to the Canary Islands. And Lucasfilm replaced the editor, Chris Dickens, with an Oscar winner, Pietro Scalia. Pietro Scalia. A veteran, so he's a veteran of Ridley Scott films, including Alien Covenant and The Martian, and they weren't entirely satisfied with the performance that the director were eliciting from Alden Ehrenreich. Now, let me read that sentence again very closely. Not entirely satisfied with the performance that the directors were eliciting from Alden Ehrenreich. You know, we hear this thing about the acting coach, which they go on to talk about. This is not unusual. It might be maybe this late in the process, but the way that this source, that the Hollywood Reporter phrases it, the performance is not really being lobbed at, like performance issues aren't being directed at Alden Ehrenreich here. They're being directed at the performance, quote, elicited from him by the directors.
So I just wonder if the directing... Was the acting coach brought in by the directors? Or was this a decision made by Lucasfilm back in May?
According to the piece, it was a Kathleen Kennedy thing. According to the piece, this is Lucasfilm decided to bring in an acting coach. It's not that unusual. It's just how late to the production all this is. But you know, let's get to the Ron Howard thing. Ron Howard is now on board. He actually tweeted this photo of his shoes, saying, "Cool scene today, but afraid it's the most revealing image I dare share on my first day on the set of the untitled Han Solo movie."
How exciting. I'm so excited about this movie. Now that we've seen our first official image from the set, we've seen Ron Howard's shoes. I mean, wow. And bottled water.
And a corner of headphones. That's important.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
Just like all Star Wars, everything's there for a reason.
Yeah. No, I could see that. Yeah. I don't know where we go from here. There's nothing else to say. Like, we can analyze this to death. We could go on for another half hour but it would literally be a long form podcast version of "What if it sucks?" So let's not do that, guys.
I'm just wondering, we've never saw Greedo's feet. Maybe those shoes is actually Greedo.
Oh, for the love of Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Star Wars Report podcast. It's brought to you by the people directly supporting us over at patreon.com/Star Wars Report. And we do want to send out a hearty thank you. Actually, a bunch of you guys have just jumped on in the last 2 weeks since we launched the brand new Patreon campaign, and it's pretty simple. We have a chat and access to every single episode we've ever done for $1, and we have a brand new weekly Rogue Transmissions podcast that we've launched, and that's for the $5 level. So check out those two levels. We actually have some other things at a higher level. We're getting ready, in fact, to do a Patreon roundtable with some of our patrons at the $15 level. But I say all that to say, just a big, big shout out to you guys who've jumped on board. A ton of you did, and we really, really do appreciate it. It means the world, even if I'm an idiot when I emailed you to tell you about it. So a big thank you to everyone who supports us. Here's the thing I'm going to do. I'm going to go to patreon.com/Star Wars Report right now, and we have 39 patrons, which is awesome. You know what would be more awesome? 50 patrons, because I changed the goals. Instead of a large total money goal, I thought it'd be cooler to do a number of patrons goal, because we're gonna try to unlock this monthly mega podcast where it's gonna be a long form interview episode series that'll be in the feed for everyone. This one actually won't just be for Patreon contributors, and it's gonna be a monthly long form thing. We're gonna start doing movie commentaries, and we'll bring in special friends of the show like Scott Rifen, Steve Glosson. And we're going to release that once a month, just in addition to the weekly show we're doing right here. And so we do that at 50 patrons. So we need 11 more people. So, hey, pull out your PayPal, pull out your credit card, and pledge $1. And we call that the tip Jar Jar, thanks to Matt Rushing. And help us get across the 50 patron mark, and we'll unlock that bonus monthly podcast. And, of course, just check out the different levels. What we do with this is that every single penny that you guys pledge is put directly back into the show. All the equipment we use, all the costs of hosting, all the costs associated with the podcast, the live streams, all of that, it's all you guys who make this happen each and every week. So we really appreciate your support. And I do want to say a special shout out to our featured patron supporters for this week. He said, because he has to scroll to the bottom. Where did I put the names? I don't want to miss the names. Oh, to Josh and Paul. Paul, by the way, Paul in the UK, longtime listener and supporter. So big shout out to you guys. You just jumped on board as well. Thank you for doing so. And we do appreciate your support of this podcast. And we do hope you'll consider chipping in as well in the tip jar jar. Woo!
We salute you!
Muy, muy! Alright. Back to the program. Hey, we actually got an update of sorts. Kathleen Kennedy and her 18-year-old daughter Megan actually posted some of their own behind-the-scenes photos from the Annie Leibovitz photo shoot of The Last Jedi. That's kind of where we first got some looks at the side characters of the film. It looks cool. We still see this casino planet. This Canto Bite. Bright? Bite? Bite? I think it's Bite.
Bite.
That just rolls off the tongue. And we also see... Oh, and we see the photo of the Skellig Michael photo. Man, that's amazing.
Can you imagine going to Skellig Michael? That would be so cool.
Dude, like, right? I can't even imagine. Because I've been there and I don't have to.
What struck me, though, about this shot, though, is all the protective rails behind them that they obviously digitized out. Or did you think that they pulled those out last minute?
Oh, they probably... They were like, last minute, they just kicked him over the side of the cliff. Sorry, guys. Guess what? There's a Star Wars movie coming out this year. I know we've been literally... What are we? 20 minutes, 30 minutes into this podcast, and we haven't even talked about, I don't know, the movie that comes out this year.
But, no, that's pretty sad, though. That's the problem. This whole Han Solo thing is overshadowing this movie.
Totally. I feel like...
It'll blow over.
It'll blow over when they release the sizzle reel at D23.
Yeah, they need to drop another trailer. That's all
they're
going to
do. And they're going to do it at D23, and I'm going to be there, guys! What?
Oh, yeah.
What? That's right, folks.
How much are tickets?
Stop it. Don't do that. Don't do this to me, Bruce.
Wait, what, why? Did you get what? You had to pay for a ticket, right? It's like for 3 days.
Maybe.
Okay, everybody. Riley had to buy a 3-day ticket because they're out of 1-day tickets, and he's only going 1 day.
There's so many points of failure in this story. One, I wasn't able to apply for press until like super late. It was way after the deadline, so I wasn't able to get press. And you know, who knows? We're small pizzas anyway. Small pies. Small. What's the word I'm looking for? We're not
anchovies.
A big deal. We're the opposite of Finn. We're not a big deal. So who knows? We don't deserve press anyway. But like, if I had applied on time, maybe I would have had a better chance of having a press pass. But I was like, I'm making these last minute plans based off of my entry of active duty and commissioning paperwork and Air Force stuff, whatever, boring. But I wanted to go to D23 because that's the big announcement for the future. They have this future films panel, which will feature some Star Wars stuff, and the Star Wars Pavilion, an entire pavilion dedicated to the Star Wars Land theme park. And it's going to be like a full preview, and they have a big panel, and I was like, I'm going to go. We're going to cover it. We're going to be like serious Star Wars podcaster professionalism. You can count on us for coverage of D23 live from Anaheim, California. And then, like I always do, I'm making crazy last minute plans. And so the press thing didn't work out. I was like, you know what? It's okay. I take this seriously. I'm here for you guys. I sacrifice. I'm willing to go, and I'm just going to spend my own money on a ticket. I'm just, you know what? That's the way it goes. I'm willing to hustle. I felt kind of proud of myself. I'm like, you know what? This is like the old days, like when we went to Dragon Con before we had press and we were doing interviews and stuff like that. I was like, I'm gonna hustle. And then I log in literally an hour ago to buy my ticket. I've already booked my flights. And I see Saturday tickets sold out. And I was like, oh, crap. So I just bought a 3-day ticket when I can only be there 1 day on Saturday because I have other plans to see LA on Friday and I fly back Sunday. So it's me. I'm an idiot.
Han Solo has a word for that, you know. Delusions of grandeur.
That's exactly what it was. It was delusions of grandeur. So yeah, I'm out like, if in the random chance that somebody really wants like the Sunday ticket and will pay me $2 and a taco, I'll give it to you. I'm serious. It's going to be a good taco, but I will take $2 on a taco for the Sunday ticket.
Well, yeah, if they have those food trucks out there, definitely. There's going to be good tacos out there.
So guys, besides Riley's idiocy when it comes to planning these things, I will be there, and I'm going to be covering... We're going to be doing daily Rogue transmissions for the Patreon, and... I'm deciding all this on the fly, but we're also going to release those into the podcast feed as well. So that'll be a sort of sampling because it's too big of a deal. I'm going to be doing live reactions to the Future Films panel, which is where I'm pretty sure they're going to release like a sizzle reel or a follow-up trailer to The Last Jedi. And then, of course, the Parks panel. And I'll also be there with the high quality camera, taking pictures and video, covering all of the Star Wars Pavilion stuff. I probably won't get any interviews because I'm not press, but that's the way it works. And then so expect all of that. I'm also going to J.C. Reifenberg's pop-up cantina, the Scum and Villainy cantina that he's got. So I'm going to be there. I'll take some pictures of that. So it's going to be wall-to-wall coverage here on the podcast, and I'm going to be doing some blog posts for the website. And I'm working on some other – I'm going to try to work on some other media stuff that I can be doing as well. I'm putting out some feelers with other sites I might do some write-ups for. I'm going to see if I can I'm going to see if I can find my way here in the local Atlanta market, see if there are any radio or TV stations that I might see if I can strike up a deal with to do some coverage. But we'll work on all that later. That's kind of inside baseball-y stuff. We'll talk about that in the Patreon call. but yeah, that's
hey,
the...
Before we go to your next news topic, though, mm-hmm. did you notice the last picture that was taken by Kathleen Kennedy, 4 of 4, where it's got Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, and Gary Fisher sitting in the corner?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I love
that. I just realized that Gary was right there. I'm like, now every time I'm going to see that photo, I'm going to know. Just off to her left was Gary.
Gary the dog. Her dog was always next to her at all times.
Dude, and he's got a Yoda look to him. In Legends, Master Ikrit? Like, I totally could see him being like Master Ikrit.
I was about to say that, Mark, actually. I was about to say, you know, he reminds me of Master Ikrit.
Yeah.
that's exactly what I was about to say. All right, yeah. D23 will be there. Pictures are awesome. We're all right. Do we want to talk?
Maybe I have to hang on. Turns out you're quite a popular draw.
Forces of Destiny is a thing.
How did I find you? I'm just lucky, I guess.
That.
I suggest you pick on someone your own size.
Oh, snap!
The data tape of Imperial base locations. Thank you, Senator. I mean, Princess. I mean, Leia.
Padme!
Stormtroopers.
The choices we make. The actions we take. Shape us into forces of destiny.
Guys?
Exciting?
On the fence.
Mark.
This week, it's a Lucasfilm animation.
Oh, wait, no, that's the Star Wars show. I should not... Mark,
it's
you're
the
on the
Star
Mark,
Wars
this week on the Star Forces of Destiny shows off the 2D animation on the short in the Disney Channel. On the Star Wars. Mark, how dare you?
I know. I'm terrible.
Meh. How I am offended.
Wait a second. If these were legends, he would love this.
I probably would.
Mark, yeah. I'm so disappointed in you. Mark, how... Listen, this female empowering we have got Ahsoka,
no,
we've
so
got
on
Padme.
That, on that aspect, I'm excited.
No,
I,
Mark,
you know,
why do
dogs.
You hate? Why do you hate? I'm going to stop. I'm going to get myself in trouble.
So my big issue right out the get-go, I'm not a fan of the shorts. Okay, but I do understand that my son is a YouTube generation and my younger daughter of the two daughters is more of that YouTube generation. And so this will appeal to them. I understand and I can like that. I think for me, the issue I have more is the fact that, you know, everything's now canon. And I kind of wish that this was something that was its own thing, because I kind of feel like, you know, some of these stories don't need to necessarily be told. And I wish I could park that, but that's just generally how I feel. So I'm kind of like, I wish this was like a secondary canon level. So when and if issues come up, I can just rest with it. I don't have to feel like, you know, somebody's watching out there. Granted, I'm not the one that's watching this. It's more my co-host Nathan on Star Wars Beyond the Films, but sometimes I feel really bad for him when he's pulling his hair out going, that can't happen. So
Mark, let me tell you something. I'm so disappointed right now. When I watched this, Bruce, I showed Bruce this trailer. We're sitting at a Starbucks outside of the theater about to watch Baby Driver. Great movie, by the way. Go watch it.
Oh, I love that movie.
I watched that trailer, and Bruce, you'll witness this because you were sitting there. I'm not making this up. I'm not shooting anything out anywhere. I'm just saying this is the honest truth, Bruce.
You actually remember I was there this time. That's so awesome.
I burst into tears. I couldn't control myself, and I burst into tears.
Oh, yeah, right.
Bruce, back me up. Come on. You saw me there. Because there's the part with the Ewok, and the Ewok was about to be shot by the stormtrooper. And I just, like, I couldn't take it.
Okay,
and
that's true. That's true.
Riddle me this, Riley.
All right.
When the Gendy series came out and you watched it, did you watch it in its short form or did you watch it all at once? A nice one binge watching episode.
Watched it all at once. Yeah, watched it all at once.
See, and that was my. See, I did not watch the Gendy series either for the same reason I'm having the issue with this. Is I'm not a fan of the short. Mm-hmm. The idea of it being so short. I'm like, I'll just wait for this one to come out on DVD.
Actually.
And usually for me, I'm like the guy that's like, I don't care what it is. I want to be one of the first ones to see it. I don't want to be spoiled. And yet when it was with the Gendy series, because it came out in its short format, I waited for it to come out in DVDs before I watched it. And I started to make that same mistake, maybe you could say, with the Clone Wars. Because I was like, I'll just wait till it comes out on DVD. And then it was like everybody started freaking out. Oh, my gosh, they're doing stuff to Ryloth and the Mandalorians. I was like, oh, my gosh, I have to watch this. What are they doing now? So
yeah.
maybe I'll get to that point where I get the hook where I'm like, I got to know what Jyn Erso does next. But right now I'm kind of more excited for the toy line, which because this debuted at the beginning of July, the toys debut at the beginning of August. And in the collecting circles, they're all like, where? They're freaking out right now. Everybody's like, I'm not seeing these on the shelves. I'm just laughing. I'm like, guys, that's not until August 1st.
I mean, I also can't believe they are not on the shelf. I am so upset about this.
You want one, don't you, Riley?
He's crying again.
See, my wife was actually excited for this line because this, see, again, my daughters gets me excited for these toys. Nothing really more because my daughters love Barbies and these were like a Barbie-like line. So I'm telling my wife about it and she's like, oh, and she looks them up and she's like, wait, that's what they are? Like, they're not the most, I don't want to say the word pretty, but they're not. I don't know. They don't look the coolest. Like my wife was disappointed. So I feel like that speaks volumes because as a male, I feel like I can't speak to what little girls should like. But my wife was like kind of taken back by the looks of these figures. I'm like, yeah,
man.
I don't know if the daughters are going to want these or not. No, I mean some action figures. My oldest one, especially, like she had to have the Jenner so Black series. She won't open it, but she had to have it.
There's so much here that I don't care about. I feel bad saying that. But, like, all right, so the collecting stuff's obvious.
Who's the bad guy now, Riley?
I know. That's so true. All right, so in all seriousness, like, the collecting stuff's obvious. It's good. It looks good. It's a short. It doesn't seem like it's going to be that much that impactful on the stories. It'll seem like it'll be a fun thing. It's kind of directed at a different market than usual with it being on Disney Channel and animated. I love all of it. It looks well made, but I don't think we're going to get that much in terms of deep storytelling. I'm just too greedy. I want a full half hour. If you're going to do a new animated series, I want more. And I know I shouldn't. I'm just saying.
Well, it's like the IDW thing. I mean, you know, they're definitely branching out into all ages, you know? I mean,
yeah, that's true.
They're really pushing because they know they've got the adults. Most of the adults, they got them when they were kids. So, you know, they've got like the kid racket down. Now they're going to go for that smaller target. You know, that slender target that, like, while they're still between 3 and 5, you know, like before the girls decide, like, I just want Barbies only and I don't really need Sabine in the Destiny's outfit. No, you do need Sabine in the Destiny's outfit. Look at her hair. It's majestic. It's colorful. You've got to have it. Barbie doesn't have hair like that unless you get the 90s tripey Barbie that's doing too much LSD. But we don't do that, Barbie, do we? No, we don't.
I feel like these are actual conversations that Mark has with his kids. I feel like he's recounting. Oh, man.
Okay, wait. Can I just say something here? Go. This is a little different than the Genndy series in the fact that back then we had to turn to Cartoon Network once a week or whatever it was to watch a little short on TV. You guys are sitting in your computers all the time. How many videos are you watching throughout the day? You're going to watch these as they come out. They're only 2 to 3 minutes long. You watch the trailer for this. It's a minute long. It's half as long as an episode. So you know, as you're online and you're going and looking at this and watching this news story, all of a sudden, hey, there's Jyn Erso. I'll watch this for the next 2 to 3 minutes and you'll move on. So you're going to end up watching it. I know. Whether you're going to really think it has big impact on the whole storyline, probably not. But I think they might be a little fun thing to watch, you know, during the workday when you're at work and there's nothing
you should
else
be working,
right?
Yeah, you're true, totally true. I'm gonna watch
because you're right, Bruce, because every minute you spend while on the clock at work watching Star Wars is an hour winning.
Thank you. Exactly.
Amen brother. Yeah, no, who's kidding? And also, by the way, the Forces of Destiny cast launching at the Star Wars Report Network next week as we break down each George Lucas. Oh, good heavens. What was that? That was like, it was like an intentional audio transition of segments, but it was totally, oh, good Lord. Stop it.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Baby Driver.
Oh man. We just passed 4 news stories. Are we going to go back for him?
I hate the passionate hatred I have of autoplaying ads.
George
All right,
Lucas is sitting there like he was ready to be talked about and everything. We just blew right by him.
Yeah, George Lucas, hey, the Museum of Narrative Art in Los Angeles is a go. The city council gave their unanimous approval of the Museum of Narrative Art. The $1 billion project is to be built in Exposition Park, and it will showcase the Lucas Collection. Groundbreaking is next year. And it's set to open in 2021. So I'm guessing it won't be ready by D23 when I'm out in L.A.
Man. Now, is that like a concept building shot there that we're seeing in the front of that article?
It is. Yeah, it's a concept.
Because that almost looks like a George Jetson golf course /Starship park in the middle. Like, that's high-tech looking.
And now, listen, like, that's all well and good. Here's what we care about. George Lucas going to Los Angeles and being ambushed by autograph hounds and, of course, TMZ. Let's take a listen.
How you doing, Mr. Lucas?
Hey, Mr. Lucas. Can you send me? Mr. Lucas, how do you think Ron Howard would do directing the Han Solo movie, sir?
I think he'll be great.
That's awesome. Any suggestions for him?
I don't care. It's not my job. It's not my job.
Mr. Lucas, how do you feel about the...
All right, I want to point out what we just heard. I'm sorry. I've done enough. He's talking to a guy there who's like shoving the fifth paper in front of him for him to sign.
The city council vote tomorrow. You got good feelings about it? Sir.
Well, if we get it, it'll be great.
Anything to say to them to sway their votes?
To who?
To the LA city council people to sway their votes in your direction?
There's nothing I can do. I think they've already made their decision. They're either going to. No, I'm not going to keep doing that.
We're going to stop it.
$200 a signature.
He starts chastising the autograph hounds.
Well, but keep in mind though, while he's chastising this guy, he is still signing like autographed after.
Oh,
autographed
sure,
after
and
autographed.
He's still having the conversation with the TMZ guy. He's like,
I have got nothing but admiration for Lucas throughout this whole video. I thought this was so awesome.
Yeah.
So why don't you just go out and get a job?
Shame.
That is
shame. Shame.
That is what we
from the.
It's so amazing that we've lost Mark. Oh, good grief!
This guy's like, you know, like.
What? We lost Mark?
Yeah, well, I lost you guys for just like a half second there, but it was like the perfect time because we literally. I can't even. All right, I'll get back to the audio.
There you go, Mr. Lucas. $200 to save you. Go get it.
And then the hype train comes in. Yeah, you tell him, Mr. Lucas. Says the guy who's ambushing him from TMZ. You tell him, Mr. Lucas, hey, what do you think of Ron Howard's directing the Han Solo film? Hey, you tell those crazy pestering buzzards to get out of here. Also, what do you think of the L.A. City Council vote?
Yeah, these people are here to make money. They're not here. They're not fans. They don't care. They just want to make money.
They just want to put it on eBay.
That's it.
They just want to put it on eBay, huh? Huh? I just want to put it on eBay. Yeah.
I just signed it. He just got $1,000 worth of stuff.
You're
a very generous man.
I have a job.
Mr. Lucas, what do you think about Mark Hamill finally getting his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
I think that's fine.
I think that's fine.
That's fine.
Maybe I'll get a
Ron
job.
Will do good.
Get a
it's not
job
my job.
At, get a job at this museum. Get a job. Get a job. I don't know, my George Lucas impression has gotten so bad. Get a job!
And I love how his voice goes up. Why don't you get a job?
He's sarcastic. We see sarcastic George Lucas. Why don't you get a job? Just get a job!
All right. The guy's like, well, you just jacked my price up. I was only going to get $150, but now that George Lucas said $200, whoa, we're selling these for $650, baby. All day. All day.
Exactly. Hey, Rogue One won a bunch of awards. Nobody cares. All right. So R2-D2 was used in several of the original Star Wars films was just sold for $3 million. That was also something that happened. Anybody got... You know, I was the 2 million... 700,000 bid, but I just couldn't quite swing the 3 million, guys. Sorry. Would have been a great addition to the studio.
But it definitely would have been. But, you know, you had to spend all that money on that D23 ticket, so you couldn't afford R2-D2.
That was the problem. Yeah, that right there was all the D23 ticket.
Hey, can I just mention something? So I'm going back to the last story of George Lucas being asked about Mark Hamill getting the star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
That's fine.
So
that's fine.
As I was looking it up, George hasn't gotten his.
Oh, what? Oh, snap. It's fine. That really puts that puts a different context on the it's fine.
It does, doesn't it?
It's fine. I don't care. I don't care about the star. It's full. All right, folks. Yeah, we're getting towards the end of the show, but we can't end the show without jumping into well, we don't need their scum, but we do the segment anyway. It's Boba's Bounty.
He was a lot to me. As you wish.
That's right. Each week, we talk about something we read, experienced, talked about, or smelled. Or yelled at, in the case of George Lucas. In the world of Star Wars, it's Boba's Bounty. Mr. Herleman, kick us off, if you don't mind, this week.
Well, I was sitting up in my room playing with my 6-inch Black Series action figures, and I was posing Boba Fett flying alongside his father, Jango Fett, in this spectacular, hung with very thin filament-type lines so you couldn't see him there. And I was looking over at Sabine Wren thinking, man, if only somebody can make a 3D-printed backpack for her so I could get her up there. When I get a message from one Nathan P. Butler, co-host of mine over at Star Wars Beyond the Films, as well as co-host of Michael Morris, the Michael Morris of Cloud City Cantina.
All right.
Casino. So anyway, I get that message from him, and he's like, oh, guess what? The Marvel codes are back. I'm like, wait, the Marvel codes are back? Yeah, the Marvel codes are back. Now, if you don't know what this means, Marvel used to put out a free digital copy with every physical comic that they put out. And I was getting my comics from Nathan that way, because he was like, hey, I don't need it. Here, you get it. So I was following along with my Marvel comics that way, and then all of a sudden they were doing this, well, we're not going to give you the one with the comic that you're getting. We're just going to give you three random ones. So if you get Star Wars Darth Maul number one, we're going to give you the Wolverine 28, Spider-Man 17, and X-Force 12. So, you know, I stopped following along. So, bam, I had like over 12 different comics that all just had randomly showed up in my messenger. It's a happy day for me. I get a bunch of comics to check out and read again. So excited that Marvel pulled their head out of their keister and put that back the way it was. Because when you buy a comic and you want to have a digital copy, you usually want it of the comic you're reading, not of something that you have no idea what you're getting. I mean, it makes common sense, right?
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Mr. Gibson, what have you been up to?
Well, besides the fact that I just got an email that kids eat free at CC's Pizza on July 4th.
What?
Dude, there's a CC's where you live?
Man. Yes.
You know what? The yes. Second man, dude.
I'm so jealous of Georgia yet again.
I love it. Pizza, you know what I heard in my brain just now?
What?
America! America! All right, go ahead.
So, I was just going through my stuff earlier today, and I pulled out an original The Empire Strikes Back comic that Marvel put out in 1980 when the movie came out. So this was bought. My brother actually got this issue and then gave it to me. But it's just really cool to just like go back and pull things from when I was a kid and go, wow, you know, who would have known all these years later that I'm still holding on to an original Marvel comic of Star Wars. That's The Empire Strikes Back. It's the first issue of the movie. It's just what takes place on Hoth up until, I mean, it's really like the first 15 minutes.
I was about to see if you could flip to the I Am Your Father moment. Yeah. I was curious how they dealt with that.
Yeah, that comes later. I don't even have those issues. I just have the first issue of the movie. It's like the first 15, 20 minutes of the movie. But it's issue number 39. It was 50 cents. And the top of the issue says, this Marvel comic could be worth $2,500 to you. And I was like, yeah.
Nice.
Pristine, but it's not. It's just that Marvel Inside says that their prices have to go up because of inflation, and so they're doing a contest. And you can, if you send in a card, you could possibly win $2,500.
Well,
but see, what's cool about that though, Bruce, is like you've got the history to that. I mean, like usually someone will come across it, and the best that they can say is like, "Well, I was over in Portland, and we were in this like downtown area, and I saw this really cool hippie shop, and I walked in, and there was this really cool Marvel. Like, this actually has a family connection, and you guys were like the first owner of a used car. Like, that's pretty cool."
Yeah, I mean, I even have the first six issues of the original Star Wars movie, but those are actually reprints in 1977. I remember the first three issues came in a pack, and the other came in a pack. I remember buying. Anybody who's old enough, Keys was like a and dime, like back in the 19, I don't know, 20, that, but Kresge's eventually became Kmart. So that's where I got the first three issues were in a pack, and the next three issues were in a pack. So I have those too.
Nice. Oh, nice. That's awesome. Decent artwork? Like, is it okay?
Yeah, actually, it is. It's, let me look here. Because, you know, it's the famous Al Williamson.
Oh, okay.
Did the writing.
I actually know that name.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry, it was the artist. And then Carlos Garzon. And they said that they brought him in. I don't know if this is the first thing, because I think he did the newspaper strips. At least sometime. Maybe it was after this. But in the back, the editor talks about bringing Al on board and that he'd be a great addition to the Star Wars comics.
Oh, nice. 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 Awesome, man. I'll jump in here. I'm actually going to kind of cheat. I got two that I'm going to toss out there. The first one is Bethany. She put it up on her Twitter and Facebook. She released the first, a sampling, a taste of the photo shoot she did in full-on Her Universe Rey gear at Skellig Michael. We have these incredible photos. Like, let me tell you guys, like the photographer was phenomenal. He was also me. But also, we did a whole photo shoot on Skellig Michael, and she posted it in time for the Her Universe birthday celebration, I guess just over a week ago. And I forgot to mention it on the podcast at all, so that's going to be one part of my Boba's Bounty. Check out at Bethany L. Blanton on Twitter, and I retweeted it as well, at the Riley Guy. You can scroll through and you'll find it, and it's just awesome.
That's like, slick. That is so slick, because you pulled the wool over my eyes, because that whole, you know, photo shoot, we've got a photographer. I was thinking, like, I'm like, I'd already heard the story all about your trip, so I'm just like, How did he get this guy to come along with them and like hang out with their family the whole time? And he never once mentioned this. Like, and I'm looking at her outfit thinking, oh, that's the real deal right there. Holy cow. Like, it's impressive as hell. Like, I totally bought that. And just now, you're like rocking my world. Hats off, man. You did a real good job, too.
Hey, we have so many.
Those look pretty dang good.
I thought it was Annie Leibovitz that did it.
Yeah, exactly.
Wasn't she there?
Yeah, no. So yeah, we were actually, in fact, they gave us a call and they said, hey, we want you guys to come out and join the photo shoot with Mark and with Mark and Daisy. And I was, and of course, I was like, yes, please. No, all right. And part two, I'm totally cheating. We put up a bunch of Rogue Transmissions, and I didn't play it in the main Patreon segment. I didn't want to take up too much time. But a little sampling of what we've been doing at the Patreon, because I totally forgot to say that this week and next week are the last 2 weeks. We actually have all of the Rogue Transmission episodes up just for free. So if you go to patreon.com, I'm shamelessly turning this into a plug, but I totally forgot to mention it. If you go to patreon.com/StarWarsReport, you can check out and literally just download every single one of their Rogue Transmissions. We've released 4 so far, and as you're hearing this podcast, I'll be uploading the 5th one, which will be the audio of our Patreon roundtable discussion that we're about to do with our patrons as well. So here's a quick sample. All right. There it is. All right, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Rogue Transmission, episode 5. It's the bonus.
By the way, this is the level of sheer professionalism as Riley just live starts scrolling through the Empire soundtrack to figure out the intro.
I thought you were doing that.
I get hyped with the song. Hey, I'm Riley Blanton.
Dang, you're pulling the wool over my eyes again, man.
Exactly. Sorry, Mark. I was turning you down at the same time as the audio because it's weird. But yeah,
of course,
we do.
It just came out.
We talked about we did a whole episode on like what we would want to see in a TV show, a future TV show for Star Wars, and we had a great fun time discussing it. Check it out, patreon.com/StarWarsReport. Whew. Am I missing anything? Is that a show? Did we just do a show? Was that a thing?
I think that's it.
There's no spoilers this week.
Yeah. I X-Tiles. I've been kind of avoiding them. I'm staying away. So I guess on that
so
note.
That's why they disappeared.
Oh goodness. It's going so well. It's great. It's great. It's fine. We're all fine here. Most professional outro ever. That puts the wraps on another episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in, guys. Really do appreciate you guys. This is a fun week. I had a lot of coffee right before the show.
You're not going to lie?
I'm not going to lie. Just so you guys know, as if you couldn't tell already. High caffeine episode, folks.
High octane.
Exactly. Very important piece of information, because we always like to give you guys information that you can use to stay in touch with us and how to, you know, spread the word on the show, all that. And I'm about to tell you all that, but here's the most important thing. Go see Baby Driver. It's awesome. I love that movie.
Oh, me too. And the soundtrack is great. Go on Spotify and listen to it.
Yes, do it. All right, Facebook/StarWarsReport, Twitter/StarWarsReport. StarWarsReport.com/iTunes takes you directly to our iTunes page. We do need new ratings and reviews. It helps get the word out on the show. So, for example, like I know I've been talking up the Patreon a lot. If you can't pledge, but you like us, you listen to the show, and you want to support us, that's another great way to do it. It's just go over to StarWarsReport.com/iTunes and leave us a rating and or review. Follow Mr. Bruce Gibson. It's @Admiral_Rex on Twitter and just Admiral Rex on Insta. Mark Herleman is @IllogicalRogue2 on the Twitter, and you know, search him up on Facebook. I'm up on Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram.
Insta.
I'm on the WhatsApp. I'm on the Flipboard. I'm on the... what else do we have here? I'm just going to rattle it off. I'm on the Facebook. I'm on the Facebook Messenger. I'm on the Pinterest, @TheRileyGuy. Follow me on Pinterest, all right? Pinterest, all right? You got to get those pins going. Hit us. Am I allowed to say that on air? I don't know if I should. Anyway. That's an episode, guys. We're going to wrap up here and get into a call with the patrons. So big shout out to everybody who supported the show. StarWarsReport.com is where you can find this podcast. Subscribe and email us, StarWarsReport@gmail.com. And we do appreciate it. Folks, until next time, may the Force be with you. And many Bothans die to bring you this podcast. See you guys next time.
Ooh, hey, Riley, check it out. Mm. Great podcast, 5 stars. Star Wars is awesome, and so is this podcast by Houdini.
Oh, we got a new review? Oh, cool. Yeah. Well, thank you. Who left it? Who give him a shout out?
By Houdini.
Oh, well, that was the name. I thought you were just celebrating by saying Houdini. Houdini. All right, let me stop the recorder.